This is the Book of Acts. This is Russ Dizdar. Page, well, in your workbooks, we got page 47, 48, and this audio 41 will be primarily on page 48 of your workbook. And just a few verses here today with some great application. We'll have one more audio after this for chapter 3. And we are going to take a look at verse 24. Indeed, I mean, here comes the end of the message. Here comes the application. God gives more. God keeps pouring it out. Let me tell you something. When you know you're clothed and filled with the Spirit of God and you're out witnessing concerning Jesus, there's no question that you get a real sense of the Spirit of God. I mean, just there's like this, he lights you up. That's like being, you know, we have the term being on fire and God giving you the words. That's what I want everyone to know, that when we are filled and clothed with the Spirit of God, and we're, and that is for the purpose of being his witnesses of Jesus, to know everything. So I think it's very important that as we are filled and clothed with power from on high, Acts 1:8, that our look to Jesus, our message of Jesus, our wanting to bring Jesus, I think most believers would say they want to bring Jesus. They want their family. They want their sons, daughters, moms, dads, grandmothers, aunts. I went after everybody. I don't know about you, but on your workbook, page 257. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That can be very important for you, because, or whether you just simply take one page and write down the names of all of your family, all of all those around you, and you simply you want to go after everyone, and you do. That's part of what we do as believers. We go after everyone. I went after mom. I went after dad. I went after my brother. I went after my sister. I went after my grandmothers. I bought Bibles. And the time I led my grandmother to the Lord was out of everything in 43, 44, I don't know, years, and to this day, that many years later, over four decades later, all I want to do is win more than ever. And my belief is in the heart of God, really in the depths of the heart of God. We have to really embrace this, that he wills that none should perish. Or in Timothy chapter 2, in praying for all the lost, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all, pas anthropos, all individuals, humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now we know that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 down, they perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. So there's no question there'll be those that reject to their own loss, and that's just as we just read here, that if we're not going to hear him. See, that verse 23 that we did already, that is a real message for everyone. If you don't listen, if you don't hear, here is the Savior. There is no one else. The aliens are not coming to save you. The politicians can't save you. The New Age crystals can't save you. God has come to save you. God has come to redeem you because he loves you, and God wants you, and God wills that you be saved. And if you reject him and all the mass communication concerning him, if you reject the crucified Christ and this atoning sacrifice, a substitutionary atonement, then as we read in Hebrews, there's nothing left. There's nowhere else to go. To trample on the blood of the covenant, there's nowhere else to go. And yes, you can be utterly eliminated, completely cut off. And again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look what it says. Do a little study. Stop maybe here, or at least mark it down on that page that you have. And on page 48. And just look at what that verse 23 says. That warning, that incredible warning, being utterly, utterly eliminated. And then just write down Second Thessalonians, the first chapter, and you'll see that there. Well, let's take a look at 24, 25, and 26, three verses, and just see the impact of these. I think this is very important. Now Peter is unleashing the message to the again, Pentecost, all those that are there, the massive work of the Spirit of God, the signs and the wonders that just occurred, the thousands that are getting saved, now the healing that nobody can deny, this massive healing that comes from Jesus, this incredible healing that comes directly now from Jesus to them, to him and in front of everyone. So the message pours from the works, from the miracle. So whenever there's a sign, a wonder, a miracle, a demonstration, and it all points to Jesus. Signs and wonders point to Jesus. It all points to salvation. The Spirit of God points to Jesus. The Word of God points to Jesus. And so I believe that every believer filled with the Spirit of God points to Jesus. There's just, in my mind, in my heart, no difference there. And that's important as we share this. Now, indeed, all the prophets since Samuel. Now, that's who they, the listeners right then and there, that's who they were relying on. All the prophets. So for Peter, by the Spirit of God, to pour out and say to them, I mean, this is gripping them. This is their world. The prophets since Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have likewise. Now, this is, I think, again, there's, what are they going to say? As they begin to hear this message, and then looking at those prophets and looking at the message and looking at Isaiah 53 and looking at the prophecies of the birth of Jesus, the suffering and death resurrection of Jesus, Psalm 16, and looking again at all of them. So it's very important to see that God has given this. Now I want to say this too to the world. Romans, you can mark down in verse 24, the end of it. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. Even though mankind suppresses truth by the choice of wickedness and their futility, you know, their thinking is futile and their understanding and hearts are darkened. So God, the scripture still says they're still without excuse by creation, by the witness of creation. People can debate it all day. They can talk about the ontological, the teleological, the cosmological argument, the reality of intelligent design. I have no question about that. And I have no question who it points to. Creation pours forth speech concerning the existence of God. And that's what we're reading in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. So God is, that scripture tells me, no matter who I talk to, no matter what their argument, no matter what they have to say, that creation itself will witness and be a witness. There's a creator behind this. So you can listen to people say, well, maybe the aliens did it. Well, then can we, you know, look at the ramifications. Take that to its logical conclusion. Why the aliens leave us here? Why they leave us in this mess? Did they do a bad job? Why did they leave us here to die? Don't they care about, you know, all this stuff? Who are the aliens? So there's those that kind of rely on that picture, but as you dig into it, instead of the infinite uncreated God. Well, if it's aliens that did this and they messed up or whatever else, where'd they come from? Who made them? Well, you can get that bit. And then there's the whole argument of a random, you know, we just popped out of, you know, spontaneously, you know, just it somehow randomly, somehow by craziness, there's a grand design? No, I don't think so. Something didn't come from nothing. Something came from someone. And that's the point of Romans 1, verse 18 on down, as creator and his existence, his powers, qualities, and so forth. And all of creation points to that and points to the existence of God. Now, that alone doesn't get us saved, and that brings us to the message of John's gospel. He's the creator of all things. He's the Savior. So in John 1, as God becomes human flesh, we have the Creator in human flesh as Redeemer. I just, you know, John's gospel is one of the great gospels to use in evangelism. and explaining origins and the life that he comes to bring to us and to look at him. And I think that's important. Get people to look at Jesus. Get people to look at him and begin to see him. Well, all the prophets, everything, Old Testament to New, spoke of this. And all that we have right now in the news speak of this. So we have major insight, major wisdom, major knowledge, tremendous, when you think in terms of, all these prophets, they didn't know each other. Some of them were hundreds and hundreds of years apart. And yet they all were led by the Spirit of God with the same message of God, a Redeemer, of a Messiah, of a Savior. And all that would occur as leading up to his birth and his life and ministry, his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection, and all the rest. And even the second coming is in the Old Testament. So you have that great communication, verse 24 we'll talk about. Verse 25, you are the sons. Here now is direct personal application. You can't get any more personal. You. Once this is all said, pointing right to the face of the Jewish man and woman, right to the face of Israel, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now think in terms of that. Think in terms of that incredible message to them. When you go back to Genesis 22 and Genesis 6, 26 rather, Genesis 22 and Genesis 26, all the way back to Abraham, and in your seed. So this is an incredible picture of the promises. Abraham, Romans 4, by faith he believed God, in against all hope he believed. And this is that all those in the future would be sons and daughters of God by faith in Messiah, in Savior. This, I can't emphasize enough the massive communication. I can't emphasize enough in knowing this to share with people. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing content to share. There's nothing in the occult world and so forth that compares to this. And so even the message of his coming, as in the second coming, when everybody's around seeing the world, everything collapsing and everything degrading and the moral wickedness and pestilence and terrors and so forth, well, this then is what we need to say to everyone. This Jesus that has come to be the Savior has told us the horrific end of days, the radical evil, the chaotic things that are going to be occurring, but he's the Savior, but he's come to save you, but he's coming again, but there is eternal life. There's hope indestructible that's in Christ. That's important. So verse 25, you are the sons. So every single person you talk to, Jesus died for you. Everyone you engage, he's come for you. He's given his life for you. He is on the cross for you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you, for the sum total of humanity. And now the Spirit of God is out. Now the message is out. Now God so loved the world. God is pursuing you. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. There's no one that pursues you more. Nobody loves you more. Nobody wants you more. This is good and pleases God, who wills all mankind to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He wants you. So pressing that upon a person, telling a person face to face. Now, I've had people get mad. I've had people cuss me out. I've had people go away. But I've also, that's of the few that have done something like that. Others that might say, well, I'll think about this. But it's also others got saved right on the spot, right then and there on the street, right then and there in their home, right then and there outside the bar, wherever we're sharing the gospel. The gospel is forever, as far as saving until Jesus returns. And so we're here to bring an astounding, brilliant, beautiful message of Jesus, life-giving message. What's there to be ashamed of? What's there to be, why would we want to hold back on a message like this? When we can say to somebody and point right on their chest, God loved you so much. God is seeking you. Did you know that God wants you more than anyone? Did you know that God has provided eternal life? Did you know that God wants to come and bring you back and give you the gift of indestructible immortality? Did you know that God wants to wipe away your sins and come into your life and give you new life and joy and hope for living? Wow. So, you know, when somebody, and the Spirit of God convicts and brings that, if they're going to reject the massive message of Jesus, you're going to see later in the book of Acts, Paul talks about your blood is on your own head. To reject Jesus, his word, the Spirit of God, well, ultimately the blood's on your own head. Now, you are the sons of the prophets. I'm going to say to everybody, you are the recipients of a Savior. You are the ones for whom he died. You are the ones for whom he's come. This great message of salvation is for everyone, every human being, red, yellow, black, or white, anywhere on the planet. It will be effectual on the islands, every single place in the world. That's why we're to go to the highways and byways. We're to go to every single creature we read in Mark's Gospel 16, meaning every single human being, no matter where they are. We carry this anywhere, everywhere. Go to the islands. Go to the other nations. Go to the highways and byways and the skyscrapers and the street levels and to the tents on the streets. It doesn't make any difference. To the neighbor next to you. This message is for them. This Christ is for them. God has come. He singled you out. He summons all people everywhere. And there's a real sense, like in Genesis, when God came and the Adam, where are you? There's a real, he knows your name. He knows a person's name. Please understand, as Jesus taught in Matthew 6 on, that he knows the hairs in your head. He knows everything about every person. As you're witnessing to somebody, God knows how to lay on that reality and call them to come home, call them to come to him. And the only, and again, I, the sad thing would be to reject. The sad thing would be to resist what the Spirit of God is doing. So placing that upon them, placing it upon them right then and there, all the prophets, everything spoke, basically by the very guidance of the Spirit of God, he's telling them, you are absolutely, totally responsible. You're part of the covenant God made with Abraham. And he quotes the scripture. He quotes it right out of Genesis. And in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You can read a lot about the promise to Abraham, the salvation by faith alone, the receiving of Jesus and the Spirit by faith alone in the book of Galatians. And it all comes this way, as God was going to move through history. And I think it's important as you're listening to this that he's moved through everything to get to you. If you're saved, he got to you because he wanted to, because he pursued you. And I'm grateful for that. Even though I ran, I don't know about you, but I ran in the first part of it when people first started telling me. Verse 26 in this final part of chapter 3. God having raised up his son Jesus. Now you might want to mark Romans chapter 1 there. There's great, powerful witness by the Spirit of God when we talk about the resurrection. So in the sharing of the gospel, it's not just the death, it's the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Psalm 16, 1,000 years in advance, it was spoken about. He's been raised from the dead, conquering death. So the proclamation of the resurrection of Christ, there's great power. And I urge you to make sure that in the sharing the gospel with others and telling them about how Jesus came and he died for them, he was buried for them, and he was sinless. Well, he just as God said, just as he himself knew, John chapter 10, he was raised from the dead. The exerted power of God declared with power to be the Son of God. So in this, he's the prototype. He's the first born from among the dead. And we shall follow in the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive caught up glorification. He is the one that has done this as the firstborn. If you read that in Colossians, we will be the ones coming after. God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to you first. Remember Romans 16, chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the, what? power of God into salvation for the Jew first and for everybody else. And that's by function, not by superiority. That's by function. He came to engage you, to bring this to you, to bring it to you, then to bring it to the world, light it in the Gentiles. It was always intended for the whole world, no question. He came to die for the whole world. And the gospel is to be preached to the whole world. But there was a functional first in when it came to Israel. And they were to be called. They had so much given to them to bring them to Jesus. Now, here's what it says. To bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. I love this last verse. And again, he's speaking by the Spirit of God. And this verse speaks by the very Spirit of God right now. When anybody reads the Gospels, anybody hears the message of Jesus, God is a blessing. It's a blessing to share Jesus with others, blessing them. He's come to love you. He's come to pursue you. He's come to give you life. He's come to blot out, obliterate all your sins and turn you. The power of God doesn't just bring forgiveness. He snaps the power of sin and empowers you with a new nature, to turning every one of you from your iniquities, from those very sins that we're talking about. So when we talk about forgiveness, we're talking about the forgiveness is inseparable from freedom, from sin. It's inseparable. So the idea of turning away from, he has come to replace the idea that you're gonna come back to him and walk away, and this from all the depravity. This word here, it literally comes from porneia, the idea of a wicked, impure, your impurities. Poneronis, depravity, malice, sins, wickedness, iniquities. Whether you're 5, whether you're 50, when you hear the message of Jesus, he's come to bless you. He's come to love you. He's come to deliver you, save you, forgive you, new life. What great announcement is that? What but great? You know, you always hear about newlyweds or whatever, they come back to their moms and dads later on as she's pregnant, and they have an announcement, you know, that they're going to tell everybody, we're pregnant, and everybody's jumping up, and they're happy and so forth. I got a new job, and it's paying twice as much. You know, the message of the gospel, Christian, it should be one of the most explosively good. When I go to share Jesus, I'm going to share, God has come to bless you because he loves you, because he wants you, because he did this for you, because he singles you out, and he summons you now to repent, turn around, turn to Jesus. He's come to break the sin nature and its enslavement, and now to empower you with new life and freedom and how to live. Book of Acts, chapter 3.